When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shirtless, it's the Shirtless Plantain Show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. This is the Euros edition, and boy, do we have a great game today. I'm alongside Coach, I'm alongside Dean. How y'all feeling today, fellas?
Sad. We're so close to having a great day, and Jude had to ruin it. But let's go, man.
Dean, how you feeling today?
I feel great. I'm a neutral. I got to watch a lot of people be sad. Whether I agree with them or not is a whole other question. Today, we have revelations on the pod. Let's go.
Let's dig into England versus Slovakia. Obviously, early, Slovakia banged on England, and this close to England game knocked out. But Dean, I want your opinion. Like, you talked to me about everything that you saw, the whole 120 plus minutes. What was your like takeaway from that?
Well, a takeaway, I don't know, man. It's kind of boring because I feel as if there's just nothing new to say. I mean, I appreciate that Gareth had the wherewithal to recognize that his midfield wasn't working and he brought Kobe in. And no matter how the game actually played out, which, spoiler alert, wasn't very good for England despite the end result, they were at least able to control the midfield for huge chunks of the game. Some of that was game state because they conceded fairly early. And those concessions were really more about his dickhead fullbacks not being calm enough to play football like the professionals that they are and putting fear into their teammates. So on one hand, I can't really blame Southgate for the way the game kind of progressed. But on the other hand, you know, this is a man that makes his decisions based on fear, it feels like.
Absolute facts.
It's been obvious from the very beginning of this tournament, even from the squad selection, that this whole Phil Foden thing, man, like, and I don't want to pick on him because he doesn't pick himself. A braver coach makes the right decision. There has to be a hierarchy. Like we've discussed multiple times during this Euros, there has to be a hierarchy. And despite the one change, which helped England's general game control, that hierarchy hasn't been set yet. And ironically, you know, they conceded the goal. Let's skip ahead to the equalizer. It's very ironic that a man goes off the field and literally the next second, the ball goes in the net. Like, if Gareth doesn't learn from that, I don't know what he's going to take from that. Like, the fact that this coach is so frustrating to follow over the last 7-8 years means that we can't even look at what happens today and think he might take a lesson from it. And that's unfortunate for England, even though it's a moment of rejoicing and jubilation and antichrist, because that's what Jude Bellingham is. He's the antichrist. Nothing can explain this nigga's life trajectory. This does not make any sense, guys. It's crazy. But yeah, I've gone on long enough.
Coach, you talk to me. That was classic, real ode to Sean Dyche, real ode to Tony Pulis, real ode to Sam Allardyce shit that we saw. Because you get a long throw, England playing with two strikers, and they score. Talk to me.
Football's a simple game, man. And it's the idiots that like to overcomplicate it. I hate to skip ahead, but Spain are a great example of what it means. But England don't have players that complement each other. I think that's what it is. I really think that's what it is. Even if you were to make the right squad selections and right first team selections, there's still one or two gaps that can actually have a ripple effect to the rest of the team. So let's just say he had everyone fit, right? He had everyone fit. So he'd play. He'd play Pickford, he'd play Maguire and Stones with Trent and Luke Shaw, right?
No, he wouldn't. He's playing Walker.
He's not playing Trent. I'm saying if everyone's fit, I'm just saying. Let's just say England's
He's not playing him, though.
He's not playing Trent?
No.
Okay, cool. So let's just say, okay, let's just say he plays Walker. Then he plays Rice, and he plays one of Wharton and Mainoo, either one, take a pick, right? And Bellingham. Not too sure on that, to be fair, right? But it is what it is. And then you play Rashford, Kane, Saka. Can you guys still pick holes in that? Because I can pick a few, to be honest. But a good coach mitigates those things. Like, he mitigates those by cultivating relationships for certain players and certain moves. Like, England didn't today and throughout the tournament have not had an actual build-up structure. They don't have one. They actually don't have one. And that comes from not having relationships. That comes from not having players that complement each other. It doesn't, like, Saka and Walcott is like the worst combination of fullback and winger in the entire tournament, as far as I'm concerned. There's teams of lesser players, right, that have made that shit work. So, and they make it work because they complement each other. That's the major thing. Like, we can talk about everything else, right? But these are those are the two key components, right? Players that complement each other and an actual identity of how you're going to play, regardless of who's playing, right? And teams that have had injuries and suspension, stuff like that, they still found a way to make it work. They might not be in the competition anymore, but at least say this is how they played. We know that they delivered on their game plan at least. England are getting by on players that play for Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, bro.
it's funny that you say that because England, you know, Brexit be damned. They got saved by two guys who immigrated to other countries for work. But that's neither here nor there. The funny thing is, just like the best combination England had today was Kobe and Saka in the beginning. Like they used the power of colonialism to you know, use telepathy. You know, so it's very interesting to watch England play. Like there they won, but there's a lot of holes in that team that a better team would expose, and it showed throughout the game. I mean, obviously Jude did what he did, which was, again, like Dean said, Antichrist shit, because it's like he wore all white and thought he was still in Madrid. I was like, yo, what kind of nonsense is this? He must have saw an eyebrow in the crowd or something.
He brought the juju with him. He brought the juju with him from Madrid, which I'm sure England appreciate very much today. But so Coach's point about the way a team plays, like, on some level, I almost feel like it's mean for people to dump on Southgate so much, because let's think about the English alternatives. Like, who are the superior coaches to Southgate? For sure, that are going to make a better fist of this.
That are English? Hires,
you know, because people would joke about, like, you know, like Sam Allardyce and shit like that. Like, he's not getting hired for a variety of reasons. But there's no guarantee that anyone, I suppose the best English coach to me at this moment would be someone like Sean Dyche. Because at a bare minimum, he has a philosophy that I recognize that feels English to me. As simple as it may be, I know exactly what the fuck that man wants to do. With Southgate, I can't quite tell what he wants to do. There was a time when Rashford and Sterling were in that front line where there was a clear, you know, method, if you will. You know, it wasn't always consistent, but it was a method of chance creation, and it got England to the final stages of many tournaments when they probably didn't deserve it in some of those cases. And in some cases, they played better than the teams they faced, say like France and at the last World Cup. England outplayed France that day, but lost the game on the moments. And I look at someone like, to do what Coach did, to skip ahead, I look at someone like Luis de la Fuente. He doesn't have even Gareth Southgate's pedigree. Not to say that Southgate has a shit ton of pedigree himself, but comparatively, if you look at their careers as managers and as players in the sport, Southgate has more of a pedigree than that guy. But that guy is coaching a much better team because they have a way of playing. They have a culture of playing. They know profiles. They keep it simple. They get results. England, on the other hand, it's just based on stars, based on fear. Like, even just the removal of one of the really talented players in the team that just doesn't fit, it's not an indictment on the player. It's not that the player is bad. Sometimes players don't work together, and that's okay. And you need to have a manager that is brave enough. This ain't even about tactics. It's just about looking on the field and saying, this is not working. Let me remove that guy because he's not standing where he needs to stand to help those other guys. Simple as that. And I'm afraid that despite the dramatics of today, we're going to see like the same lineup in the next game or something. And that'll be fucking disastrous.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Coach.
No, and this is the most worrying thing. Like, it's the fact that he doesn't seem to be brave. If their manager is not brave, it translates to the players. The fact that he didn't even... When's the last time Saka played fullback for club or country? It must have been about 4 years at this point. For Arsenal, at least. It must have been about 4 years since he played fullback for us, right? And for England, I don't know when the last time he played fullback for them, but the fact that it came up in conversation 3 or 4 days ago and then magically somehow Saka finds himself at left back when England are a goal down kind of thing, lets me know that this coach, right, did it even look rehearsed? It didn't look rehearsed. It didn't look anything. It just looked like, oh shit, that's an idea that we didn't really consider. But look, enough people are talking about it. Let's do it and see what happens, kind of thing.
It's the same thing with Trent in midfield.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And he done it. And Saka didn't even last 10 or 15 minutes. That he ended up playing right wing back as soon as Eze came on. So there's a clear problem with what Southgate is transmitting to the players, because we can't keep blaming, as much as I love giving it to Foden kind of thing. Like you can't really blame him. Like when the manager is just doing some nonsense, genuine nonsense. He's not doing enough to help these players.
He's not managing anything, bro. Huh? He's not managing anything. You can literally see the players throughout phases of the game, because England actually controlled this game, which is better than some of the other games we've watched. But you would see periods where it's just like, it's almost like they all kind of agree, like, okay, Phil, it's your turn now. What can you do? Yeah. Then he hops in the right half space like 3 or 4 times and spams across like KDB.
Yeah.
Does the same thing, cross to the far post. Then that doesn't work. Then they're like, okay, well, Jude, how about you go into the space Sakai is into for now and do something from there. Then that motherfucker crosses with his wrong foot and the goalkeeper claims it. And that happens like twice. Then they go do something else. It was just really sad and boring and pathetic. You can tell that there's like, not only is a hierarchy important in terms of the players on the field, it's important in terms of the entire organization.
Yes.
Like Southgate is the man in charge, but he's not the leader of the group, I don't feel like.
No.
Yep.
And if he's the leader of the group, we can see the results of his leadership.
You know what's crazy? That first goal was literally an indictment on everything on England, because I made a joke about Jordan Pickford's hands and, you know, that shit is funny, whatever. But that goal literally came because Kieran Trippier is playing left. He's not playing left back or left wing. He's playing left. Like, you know how Dani Alves used to play for Sevilla? Yeah. That's the sort of shit that they were doing today. So when he got caught cheating up the pitch, all the players were like having to shift in different places that were not comfortable with them. Mark Gay obviously is on a yellow card. He can't do much because he's not trying to get a red card and cause a penalty. And that's when he scored, because again, the coach is not doing what he's supposed to do.
Bro, and real quick on that goal, like if we really want to pick on a player, it's Kyle motherfucking Walker.
Oh, I just knew it was coming.
I do not understand how he played the entire game.
Bro, madness.
This was a disaster class of proportions I cannot recall. He was so far back to play Slovakia onside on that goal. Then not to mention all the bullshit. Like, bro, it's literally a straight line on your strong foot. Just pass it to the good player in front of you. No. He's going to turn inside and run with the ball and do something. It was a really frustrating. Like, forget England, forget Southgate, forget jokes. Like, just to watch a player that's supposedly talented, that's won trebles and shit like that, be that pathetic. It's not even that he was a coward. It's just that you watch him play and you're like, how did you make this level? You're not a smart footballer. I'm sorry.
Bro, and the wild, not smart. The wild thing is England has a surplus of right backs, right? They have a surplus of right backs. And I know you guys are going to probably be like, he's not good. Ben White has shown throughout the season how good he is. And you let people like that go because you don't know how to communicate. And again, we're going to keep harping on the same points over and over again. That's what I feel like we're going to keep doing. And I'm tired of it. Let's talk about some positives. What was some positive you guys saw in the England game? Because I know there was some, but you know.
England once again bailed out by a black guy. I mean, that was the one positive for me, because I put out a tweet, because I was at that point, I was so convinced England were going out. I mean, there's literally 2 minutes of the game left. But I was like, you know, when Mainu and Saka and whatnot are, you know, making the headlines and shit for England going out, obviously guys just trying not to engage, right? And I was kind of relieved that they weren't going to be subjected to it for at least another 7 days. I don't know. So that was a one positive for me. The other positive is that Saka went left back. England decided to stop passing to him, namely Declan Rice, which I suppose might have saved some legs for him for the season. I don't know. He wasn't working as hard, but then he ended up playing back on the right again, which tells us again just how good Saka is. So, yeah.
By the way, Cole Palmer's cameo was shit, but go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, and I consider that to be a positive, not because I have an issue with Cole Palmer as a player, but because it's ridiculous that people look at a child, a literal child, that just established himself in the professional game and expect him to be some sort of savior because he scored goals for Chelsea, the team that finished... Where did they finish in the table this season?
Let me get my binoculars out. Hold on.
It was six or seven, something like that.
Yeah, the point isn't that there's a player that's going to fix this issue. The point is that there's no system. So everyone is going to come in and look lesser than they actually are. You know, the only person who consistently looked good today was Declan Rice because he had to run his fucking balls off. And I suppose Ivan Toney, when he came on, was perfect for that.
Oh, Toney's so good, man.
Fantastic. Bet on himself.
But otherwise, everyone was a little bit below par. Like, there wasn't anyone that really played up to their level in this game, really. And
Kobbie Mainoo showed flashes of...
Who that? Yeah. You know what? That's not fair. He was really good in the first half. I thought he was fantastic. He had a shot or two that could have made the difference in this game. Like you said earlier, he combined well with Saka early in the game. But for the most part, I mean, if I thought Gareth Southgate was self-aware enough to actually learn something from this, I'd have more positives to share. But as things stand, it's just the positive is that, you know, I didn't particularly enjoy watching Slovakia either. So I'm not sad that they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say shout out to Slovakia, but my God, that was rough to watch. And I have nothing else to add. Go ahead, coach.
Because we know, obviously, England are facing Switzerland now, we're assuming Gareth Southgate is not going to make any more changes. But I'll be honest, I don't want to rule it out because we called him not brave, but at the same time, it was pretty brave to throw in 18-year-old Kobbie Mainoo in his first 6 months of football, basically.
19,
sorry. But
I don't know. I don't know, coach. I don't know that that's brave because we've seen what it looks like when he's not in there.
Yeah, to be fair, actually, you're right.
If you want to repeat that for a fourth game in a row
and
not get sacked...
But do you think
that was fair, bro? That was fair.
But do you think he makes another change before the quarterfinals? Because let's be honest,
I'd hope so.
Look, England have got some incredibly fit players, but to me, the two fittest teams this tournament have looked like Austria and Switzerland, like easily. You know, Spain are up there as well, but Austria and Switzerland look incredibly fit, man, and a lot of these England players have had very long seasons, right? Playing God knows how many games and whatnot. And it's weird looking at these English players, even someone like Declan Rice, looking not leggy, but just this isn't the springy Declan Rice that we saw for Arsenal, basically. And it's translating across the team. And I feel like someone like Switzerland were always going to be a problem for them, but that's where England might actually be in trouble. Like physically, like we know Switzerland can play, but physically, Switzerland might even have an edge over them there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I don't think this will happen, but if this happens in the next game, on the next pod we do that involves England, I'm gonna be cheering for Gareth. If he drops Foden and brings in someone that will keep any kind of width on the left, good for him. And I know this is definitely not happening. If he drops Kyle Walker and plays Trent instead, because the whole point is that Kyle Walker is supposed to be a better defender. He's clearly not.
No.
We all see it. So why not put someone that can create some chances there too?
My dad asked me, so I called my dad after the game. And my dad said, in Yoruba, I was basically saying like, what is wrong with Kyle Walker? It's like, but wait, we didn't need a boy. He's like, what happened? Because my dad's a Liverpool fan. It's like, what happened to Trent? He's like, is he hurt? I was like, you should tell me. I was like, I don't know if Trent's hurt or not. I was like, but clearly Kyle's not good enough. So, you know.
And just one last thing, actually, just on Trent's chance creation, who do you think benefits most from someone crossing from the half space into the far post? Who?
Jude.
Harry Kane and Jude.
Like, I don't, it's like the jigsaw puzzles are right there and he's not doing it. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
You've seen that clip? I don't know if it's a TikTok of the shapes. Like, there's like a... They're shapes, and someone's putting these shapes into. Yeah. It's supposed to be a square, and he keeps putting. That's exactly what's in Southgate's brain the entire time. Yeah. He just puts the wrong peg in the square hole over and over again. It's so fucking obvious. Like I saw Phil Foden doing things that Trent should have been doing on the field today, and I'm like, where is Trent?
And that's a good segue. Speaking of puzzle fits, because Spain have figured out their puzzle pieces, and they beat the shit out of Georgia. Georgia started off like a house on fire. Well, Spain obviously started like a house on fire. At one point in the game was like 87% possession, like 13 or something crazy like that, which was just batshit. So obviously, Georgia got their goal on the counterattack, and Spain was just like, fire ballet, we're still here. Like, we're still here. And Rodri scores that goal, and then it just was lights out. Coach, talk to you. What do you feel about this game?
Look, I just feel very vindicated because, you know, shout out to Georgia for, you know, providing some good moments here and there. But I said after that opening game, they are going to get absolutely battered by anyone half decent because they cannot defend. And, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, Georgia, you know, they're so refreshing. I was like, yeah, that's all well and good. But when they come against a good team, they're going to get beaten so badly. And it could have been way more. It should have been way more today. And, you know, shout out to them for, you know, committing to their way of playing and shit. And, you know, it's refreshing. And they actually were making good moves in terms of, you know, their team selections as well. I think that 3-5-2 works very, very well. But the simple fact is they cannot defend. And, you know, I'm all for like a good story and shit like that. But this isn't the Mighty Ducks, man. Like, this is the real world. Do you know what I mean? you got a flipping nuke in Nico Williams playing against you. You're telling me about, oh yeah, good effort from them. No, this is he's gonna blow your shit up, man.
Dean, what do you think about this game?
Yeah, it's, you know, I almost feel shy about giving credit to the management for Spain because this is not dissimilar. Like, even when Spain isn't good, they generally have a squad that looks kind of like this with enough players where like, oh, they can, yeah, their first 11 will be decent, you know. And they have way more than that this time, you know. And everyone looks so good that it feels almost churlish to pick someone out and say, oh, this person was really good. Because there were players in the game where I thought to myself, you know, Lamine Yamal has been quiet. But the whole time I was thinking that, Nico Williams was giving someone a new asshole. Yeah. Then I'm like, Nico, I haven't seen Nico on the ball for a couple minutes. Lamine Yamal is assisting somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, Rodri just lost the ball, but Fabian Ruiz looks amazing. You know, like everyone is just clicking in that system. It's hard to see them losing. Put it that way.
Do you know how good this system is? This system is so good that I would even consider buying Mark Cucurella.
Listen, he's been the best left back in the tournament easily. And what I've found quite satisfying is Spain's structure is so recognizable. And, you know, I'm all for unpredictability and whatnot, but they are unpredictable in the final third. But it's clear it's a 2-3 build-up. It's so clear and it helps so much, especially out of possession. When, let's say they lose the ball now, they've got the bodies there. Straight away, the bodies are there. But when they do have the ball, there's options. There's so many options. Rodri just seems to be able to pick out whoever he likes. Fabian Ruiz is just a wonderful footballer. Absolutely one, like,
and deserved his goal.
Yeah, man. He helps Rodri. So, because by the way, I think Pedri might have been, if you want to pick out anyone today, I think Pedri was kind of shit. Not shit, but just a bit.
He did come out for Omo later on.
Yeah, exactly. Scored, so. Yeah. But everyone else, like in their midfield, them two were just, they helped each other so much. The amount of times I saw Ruiz just drop into the six and let Rodri do whatever the fuck he wanted, kind of thing. It's just so nice and refreshing to have so many players that are competent and comfortable and complement each other. It's so nice.
Coach, I'm so glad you mentioned Ruiz dropping into the six for Rodri to go forward sometimes, because I was watching that thing to myself, like, they're not even working that hard.
No.
Like, they're not working as hard as many other midfielders work because everyone is so competent at everything. So it's like, instead of Fabian Ruiz feeling like I have to go fill my space in the left eight, if Rodri is closer and it makes sense for him to fill that space in that moment, he just does it. And Ruiz takes a breather. And I'm like, damn, that must be nice. You know, as opposed to being someone like, I don't know, Declan Rice, you know, like just spending the whole game doing this. running. Like, what the fuck, bro? like it just makes, like, I think you can break down essentially the various phases of the game, offensively, defensively, you know, like build up. Spain is good. Ball progression. Spain is good. They can force you into a low block. Transitions are good. Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams. Set pieces, good on those. Pressing high, counter pressing, mid block. They're good at everything. The system is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it's hard to see anyone beating them. If I'm going to put money on someone beating them, it would be Germany, just based on home advantage. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's also like maybe a bit of a, I don't know. I think those are the two dominant coaching schools in Europe right now, Spain and Germany.
And like Italy's trailing back a little bit.
Yeah. No, Italy has never fallen out of favor. They've always been around. They're just never the very elite.
Yeah,
or
no,
if
for
they
sure.
are, you know, like Carlo is repping Italy, but it's Real Madrid still, you know. So I'm giving that to Spain.
Yeah. I mean, my the thing that like made me so impressed in this game was like not only Nico Williams, but Dani Olmo, because we talked about him on the podcast, and I said that I wouldn't be, you know, remember what I said about him, and like I'm glad he scored today. Even though he looks a bit, you know, I'll be scared to see him one-on-one outside at night because I will cross the street. He's a good player, and he's done his thing, so good for Dani Olmo. But let's talk about Nico Williams' goal. Fuck me. That's the only thing I can say about that goal, because, you know, their goalkeeper's massive. Again, like we said, he's a big fucker like Donnarumma. And the way he put that ball into the top net, it was just like there's nothing he could do about that. There's nothing he could do. And it was just, these two kids are just bullies, man. You got a 16-year-old and a 21-year-old who are just treating grown men like they're children. It's absurd to see.
Yeah, the Nico goal was very, very, sorry, Coach. It was very reminiscent of Ronaldinho at the Bernabeu, you know. Like,
yes.
I mean, that's the gold standard of that kind of goal, but this one, it brought the feeling back, you know. So I'll give him that. I'll give him that, you know. Good game for Nico today, for sure. Bring him to the carpet, please.
Yeah. I think just on Nico Williams in general, I think the most impressive thing about him is, and I'm not even trying to downplay the other parts of his game, but his physicals are just dumb. He's scary. Like, physically, he's just a tank. Like, I think, well, okay, so he's 21, and I'm very sure he's well over, he's 6'1 at least, I think. He looks about 6'1, 6'2. And there isn't a weakness to his dribbling or to his nimbleness or to his agility with that goes with that height. It seems to make him even more dangerous because he's got long legs. So he's able to power through shit, and you know, and then he's getting through gaps he shouldn't be getting through, and then he's shooting like he's got a rocket. He's legit got a rocket, and that finish was just probably him at, you know, him. It's a great finish, but he's not trying to burst the net. But because he's so physically dominant, pardon, sir.
Go on.
No, he's not trying to burst the net, but it's cannoned off his foot because of his technique. You know, like he's. He's just a fantastic footballer, man. And he's one of those players that you don't really want to come up against, even on a bad day, because he's going to create something. Pretty much, I know Lamine Yamal was great and he created a bunch of shit, but Spain defer to him first, really. Like, I've noticed, they actually defer to Nico first. Maybe it's a seniority thing, but they know he's going to get that ball into the box regardless, or he's getting a shot off. He's just so scary, man.
I think it's like a physicality thing almost. Yeah. Like, they just know that he can carry them in that way.
Yeah.
Like, but Yamal, you know, he's still like the little homie to them, even though he's very talented. With Nico, he's been a pro for a while, so they're like, all right, feed him. It looks like watching Batista in WWE. That's what watching Nico Williams looks like. he just looks like a bully out there. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if Spain can trust two black guys to start, you know, they must be doing something great. So word to Marco Senna, wherever he is. I hope he's doing well. But yeah, listen, man, it was a great day of football. I had a great time watching all this. England, don't worry, Granit Xhaka's coming for you, and we can't wait. So it's England versus Switzerland, Spain versus Germany, which is absurd. Tomorrow we have France, Belgium, Portugal, Slovenia. You want to do any predictions, or we just want to leave that shit to what it was, to what it's going to be?
I mean, I'm predicting chalk.
Yeah.
Like, the teams you expect to win those games will win those games. That's how I feel about it.
Wait, France are playing Belgium, right? Belgium.
Yeah.
Yeah. France.
That's the big homie versus little homie, man. Like, that always goes for France. It just always goes for France. That's a historical thing. Like, it's like a rivalry. It's one of them rivalries where one team just loses all the time. Like, you know, the Sixers versus the Celtics, one of those rivalries. So, that's a wrap. And I in the time it took Tosin to say Portugal versus somebody, I forgot who the somebody was, so it's a wrap for them.
Oh my god!
I mean, what I think, Liao, Bruno, and somebody else got a big rest for the last game.
A lot of them did.
Yeah, for Georgia. Yeah, look, and Bernardo Silva, like they all got rests. So yeah, they're coming for Slovenia, I think.
Yeah, hopefully Sue Man doesn't mess up, but yeah, we'll see, fellas. You got anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
Like, subscribe. Please, thank you. We enjoy the comments. We enjoy interacting with you guys. Keep it coming.
Thank you, guys. Yes, please share. It's free to share. It's free to like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you guys so much. We're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace.
Peace. The Shadowless Plenty Show.